When we look at this text today, we look at this text understanding that this particular young man has been lame with paralysis all of his life. Yeah, from his mother's womb. He doesn't know what it is to walk. He doesn't know what it is to ride a bicycle. He doesn't know what it is to run and play with other kids or go swimming in the brook. He doesn't know what any of that is like. All of his life, he's been in a state of paralysis. And when I looked at his paralysis, I looked at our world. It was like, without any kind of warning at all, it was almost as if God told everybody to go to their room. And over a third of the population went into total paralysis, shut up in the house and completely shut down. Imagine with me, if you will, I never thought in my life that I would see a time that Times Square would be closed, that there would not be the ringing of the bells at the casinos in Vegas, that Broadway was shut down and Hollywood would collapse and every beach would be empty. Everything was shut down in a state of paralysis. And like any paralysis, the longer you are paralyzed, the more territory it takes. So what started out as a medical problem evolved into a sociological problem, evolved into an economic problem, evolved into a political problem, and the whole world was in crisis. If you had a way to get out, there was nowhere to go. If you bought a plane ticket, there was no place on the planet you could go to escape the problem. And so everybody stuck and shut down. They're much like a third of the 8 billion people on the planet are in their house, and they are much like the ankles of this man. They didn't work. They didn't work. There was no place to work. They couldn't go to work. They couldn't move anywhere. They couldn't do anything. And even though two-thirds were still mobile, the one-third was shut down, and the world was lame in both its feet. And anytime something doesn't work long enough, you develop a system of survival. It doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't work. And if you and your daughter don't get along well, you learn how to cope with that. For you, you might be moaning, you might be upset about it, but eventually, if people hurt you bad enough, long enough, you learn how to cope with that. You learn how to, as my grandmother would say, feed them with a long-handled spoon. If your marriage doesn't work, you learn how to cope with that. If your car doesn't work, you learn how to cope with that. There are little ways when I had a raggedy car that I knew I had to get out there, and if I took the screwdriver and put it up against the alternator and the battery, it would spark and I could kick the ignition. It was normal for me because my car had been broke so long that I always carried a long handle screwdriver so I could get it going if I needed to get it going. Other people who rode with me would be shocked and say, oh, what's wrong with the car? I say, oh, don't worry about it. Hand me the screwdriver. You learn how to cope with stuff that doesn't work. This man is lame in both his feet, but he has developed a system of sustenance. Let me tell you, all of you out there who don't have a system of sustenance, you're fooling yourself. You can't stay at your mama's house forever. You can't stay with grandma forever. Sooner or later, you got to stand up and come up with a system that sustains you, even if it's not what you dreamed of. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. This is not what the man dreamed of being, but necessity is the mother of invention, and he had learned that there were a couple of people that would carry him every day, pick him up out of his bed and carry him and lay him at the gate. At the gate called Beautiful. His problem was his ankles, okay? But if you wallow in your problems, you'll never see a shift in your situation. So he had to find a place where he could find a way of coping with the problems that would not go away. And so they laid him daily at the gate called Beautiful, not once a week. Daily, every day, whether it was Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, every day looked the same. They laid him there. I want to talk to somebody whose days all look the same. And you wake up in the morning and it doesn't matter what you put on and it doesn't matter what you do. You got the same thing to deal with. You got the same problem. You got to put up with the same lying people. You got to deal with the same kids in their situation. Got to live with the same circumstance, live in the same community with the same neighbor next door, deal with the same frustration, deal with the same economic consequences, the same Monday, same Tuesday, same Wednesday, same Thursday, same. This is just another day. It could have been any day. They told us what time it was and didn't tell us what day it was. They tell us it's the ninth hour for prayer, but they don't tell us what day of the week it was. They told us what time, but what difference does it make? What day when every day is the same? They don't tell us what the man's name is. They don't tell us what the day is. They just happen to mention what time it was. Now, to all of you who are trying to figure out next steps because you have been paralyzed by a pandemic, terrorized by fear, ostracized from other groups of people who have different opinions, you find yourself with your back up against the wall and you're trying to figure your way out. When you walk by faith, you don't always have the benefit of having a strategy to get out. Sometimes things just happen. What I want you to understand is when God orders a change in your life, he doesn't always announce that the change is going to come. What I want you to understand is that when God gets ready to take over, he takes over just the way COVID took over. It didn't announce itself. It didn't give us a 90-day warning with boom, everything shut down. Didn't matter what your opinion was about it, the color of your skin, it just shut it down. This man is going about his routine, his cycle. It is an ordinary routine for a paralytic man. He is neither weak nor strong to be admired nor resented. He is doing what paralytic people do. People do what people do. There's nothing really exceptional about it. Everybody thinks they're exceptional, but the reality is, if you boil it all down, people struggle with what people struggle with. People do people things. I don't care what planet, what country, what culture, what language. People do people things. And this man was doing what any other paralytic person would do who was trying to get something to eat. He begged. That was his job description. When he woke up in the morning and brushed his teeth and combed his hair, he knew he was going to bed. What are you going to do today? I know what I'm going to do today. I'm going to do what I did yesterday. I'm going to do what I did the day before. I'm going to bed. What I want you to understand is that this man did not wake up this morning and brush his teeth and comb his hair and say, I've got a meeting with destiny. Peter and John are coming and everything in my life is going to shift. No, he didn't wake up with excitement and anticipation of a revolution or a paradigm that would forever change the rest of his life. He woke up paralyzed. He woke up stiff. He woke up normal. He drug himself over to the side of the bed where they could lift him. Hand me my cup so I can beg. And he went out there and they set him at the gate. At the gate called Beautiful. I want to talk to you about the gate because the gate called Beautiful. You got an ugly situation in a beautiful place. Here we have this marred, broken, flawed, impotent, incomplete, paralyzed individual stuck at a gate called Beautiful. What a strange place for an ugly problem to exist. I want to talk to people who have ugly problems in beautiful places. On the outside, it's beautiful, but on the inside, it's paralyzed. On the outside, we take great pictures. On the inside, we're not speaking. On the outside, we're prosperous. On the inside, they're about to repossess everything. On the outside, oh my God. The gate and the man. What an amazing oxymoron. A beautiful gate and a broken man. And they laid him daily at a beautiful gate. Perhaps it was to accessorize the agony of being paralyzed, because we all have our ways of glamorizing our agony. We all have our ways of fixing up the surroundings to accommodate for the pain of the reality. Anesthetizing our pain is why the alcoholic gets drunk, because life looks better when I'm drunk. It's why the drug head gets high, because life gets better. If you let me get a couple of tokes first, I'll be okay. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. So the man is laid daily at the gate. But the problem with the gate is, as beautiful as it is neither here nor there. If you're at a gate, you're at a nebulous, indescript place. You're not in or out. You're not with it, you're not without it. Now, there were people who didn't even believe in God who were down at the marketplace, and there were people in the bakery buying bread, and there were people in the synagogue having church. He wasn't with the world, he wasn't with the church, he was stuck at the gate. I want to talk to somebody who feels stuck. Stuck at the gate. A gate doesn't have an address. A gate doesn't have a mailbox. A gate doesn't receive bills. A gate is a nebulous place because it is neither here nor there. It is the gate. It's neither hot nor cold. It's neither black nor white. It's neither rich nor poor. It's a nebulous, almost fixing to, could have, would have, should have. Oh, God. Have you ever been at the gate where you could see what was possible, but you couldn't get to it? Where you could turn your head and go backwards, but you couldn't go back. He couldn't go backwards. He couldn't go forward. He was paralyzed in a nebulous place, a place of uncertainty.